Our reading today is Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12, on pages 1145 and 1146 in your Pew Bibles. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by knowledge of him. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. O God, your word gives us counsel for our understanding. Enable us to receive it today. In the name of your Son, your servant, Jesus Christ. Amen. My message today is going to be shorter. I received a letter, and I'm not sure if the members of the congregation or your voting member of the congregation also received a letter from the Wisconsin Conference. I have a copy of it to post, but I'm going to read that for some of this time during the message. So I'll keep my message short so that you can receive that message. So just to refresh our memories, the book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament and was written several hundreds of years before Jesus was born. I was amazed at the great description of Jesus' life on earth, at least this one part of it. Call it prophecy, call it Isaiah was talking about someone else altogether. Still a great description of this part of Jesus' life. Jesus had other serving duties while on earth. He taught, he healed, he drove out demons, etc. As a Messiah, he started a revolution, though it might not have been the kind that many were expecting or hoping for. In addition to all that, he began a new covenant with us, giving us two commandments for our salvation, so our relationship with God can thrive. He is our Savior. We are to be Christ-like images here on earth, the working body of Christ. We are to follow God's will and serve robustly. I am not able to serve as Jesus did during his life on earth. I also can't serve God the same way you do, or you do. I don't have the same gifts as Jesus or anyone else. That's why following God's will and serving robustly is so important. God knows us, our strengths, our weaknesses, our gifts. We are not asked to serve in ways we are not capable of doing, just as Jesus wasn't asked to do anything that he wasn't capable of. What would be the purpose of that? How would God be served? But we can serve like Jesus, serving whenever God asks, however God asks, serving robustly, following God's will, like Jesus. This letter is from the Wisconsin Conference of the United Church of Christ. And again, I will be posting on the bulletin board the original copy of this letter, or the original. And with our brand new printer, if you need any copies, I'm sure we'll be able to help you with that. Dear friends, on World Communion Sunday, I preached at the Centennial Celebration of Grace United Church of Christ in Kohler. I talked about the way the Holy Spirit is reshaping the church for the future, noting that the concept of reformation is part of our spiritual heritage. Grace UCC in Kohler was founded as Grace Reformed Church by German immigrants whose roots trace back to the 1500s, when Martin Luther and other protesting reformers brought forth new theological perspectives and worship modifications. The old saying is surely true: change is often what we least want and most need. Truth be told, the Holy Spirit has been transforming the church since the days of Jesus. One of my favorite old hymns evokes the biblical metaphor of God reshaping us. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I'm waiting, yielded and still. If God is continually refashioning the church, perhaps the holy potter toils endlessly at the spinning wheel, forever reshaping us and refusing to fire us in the kiln, because God is never finished with us, nor is the church ever complete. I imagine God sprinkling the waters of baptism on this clay of the church, keeping us soft and malleable. For more than a year, we in Wisconsin Conference UCC have engaged in conversations together, wondering about the future contours of our common life. We have acknowledged that maintaining two middle judicatory structures, a statewide conference, and four regional associations, has become burdensome. We need a nimble organization model that better promotes connection and care. A few weeks ago, the conference board of directors unanimously endorsed a policy that promises to lead us in exciting new directions. The first topic is labeled "Toward a Wider Web of Connections." Two values stood out when we asked people about their wider church connections: meaningful relationships and useful resources. Over the past decade, we have made significant progress in broadening our digital connections and accelerating the sharing of resources. Thanks to Zoom, we have created several justice working groups. Additionally, we now have more than 20 communities of practice and several new resource networks, including supportive ministries, rural and small town ministries, older adult ministries, worship resource conversations, generosity webinars, and online faith formation, including confirmation available through the Damascus Project. This web of interlocking connections across the Wisconsin conferences embraces in-person and online meetings. It invites individuals to align their passions with service to the wider church, and it offers infinite possibilities for building relationships and sharing resources. Next subtitle, Toward a Unified Committee on Ministry. Years ago, we established a conference-wide commission on ministry comprising of 2 members from each association committee on ministry. The purpose was twofold. First, to establish consistent COM, Committee on Ministry, protocols throughout our 4 associations, and second, to move toward unified processes for members in discernment, licensed ministers, boundary training, annual review forms, and fitness reviews. The work has prepared us well for a shift toward handling all COM work in a unified manner. Regional representation will continue, and the Commission has proposed creation of several smaller teams, each of which would handle a portion of our ecclesiastic work. Next subtitle, Toward the Dissolution of Associations. UCC General Counsel Heather Kimmel has reviewed the conference bylaws and association governing documents and determined that the process for dissolution is straightforward. The associations are no longer corporations, so all that is required is a simple vote to dissolve, followed by a vote of conference-wide delegates to shift responsibility for the ecclesiastical work and vital missions and scholarship ministries of the associations to the conference. We propose that the vote to dissolve the associations take place in 4 breakout sessions during the 2025 annual meeting of the Wisconsin Conference, scheduled for June 6th and June 7th. This gathering for association business would take the place of the traditional spring association meetings, but would not preclude regional spring program. We anticipate in-person attendance at annual meeting 2025 and will offer Zoom options for the hour of each association meeting. Next subtitle, Toward a New Understanding of Membership Dues and OCWM. This reshaping of our wider church is financially neutral, assuming congregations continue their gifts to our church's wider mission and their membership dues at similar levels moving forward. Membership dues currently are collected on a per member basis to pay for the work of associations. Most of these dollars are allocated 3 ways: to mission grants and camp scholarships, church and ministry, and common services provided to the conference for staff support of association work. These functions will be taken up directly by the conference through the OCWM funding. Membership dues will continue. However, they will reflect core conference operating costs, such as office expenses, technology needs, and insurance. The vast majority of the conference budget will continue to be funded by OCWM basic support, providing all the staffing, ministry, and outreach mission needed for vitality in our conference life and beyond. Next subtitle, Next Steps and Timetable. This fall, we will continue to work through the unified COM proposal and will create a map of the resource web so you can begin to appreciate the many ways we expect to increase connectivity and resource capacity. We will also work closely with the association leadership teams to understand any concerns and all priorities they have moving forward. It is important to note that Associate Conference Ministers Jane Anderson, Rachel Bauman, and Michael Jones will remain deployed in the regions they now serve. Although some conferences have moved away from geographical representation, we believe this model remains key to our continued ability to support pastors and congregations. Early in 2025, we will conduct 4 regional conversations with in-person and virtual options for those who want to learn more and share ideas. We will then gather at the annual meeting in June around the theme of reshaping the church. The unified COM would commence its work by late 2025, and the DUS and OCWM shift would occur in 2026. In the meantime, we will continue to expand the emerging resource web and dream together about various working groups and ministry hubs. As always, we welcome your questions and thoughts anytime. Thank you for processing this long email, and please know I welcome your thoughts. With blessings and gratitude, Reverend Franz Riegert, Wisconsin Association President. So again, I will post on the bulletin board the original of this letter. I'm not sure if any of you have already received it, but I thought it was an important enough issue to bring up here during service. That way you're able to advise your voting member for June as far as any questions or decisions about how they will represent you in the vote in June at the conference, the annual conference meeting. Also, please make note that they are going to be having those resources available so that they are going to give the 4 regional conversations early next year with in-person and virtual options. I'm sure that will probably be on a Zoom kind of format. So keep your ears open for those. If I get any other information regarding this, how this is moving forward, or resource information, how to sign in on those, I'll definitely pass it along. And I appreciate your time and attention.